You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
I kind of look at the history of Razorback Stadium in two different ways. There are the games that were played before renovation in 2001, then there are the games that have been played since. And post-renovation, I can't remember a game that was any more entertaining than Arkansas and Mississippi State, at least the ending on Saturday. Think about this. In the last 2.5 minutes, you had each team scoring what they thought was the game-winning touchdown, and then Mississippi State was able to come down at the end and kick what would have been a game-tying field goal that would have sent it to overtime. And had that game gone to overtime, it would have been the fifth time in the series that those two teams had played an overtime game. That would have been the most in the history of the FBS. Matt Jones with Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. And it's interesting, Clay, when you go into a game, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, there are the games that are built up to that are exciting, and you know, then sometimes there's a flop like you had in the Georgia game this year, and then sometimes there are games that, you know, there's really not a whole lot of build up for, like you had Mississippi State the other day, and it ends up being one of the most entertaining, if not the most entertaining game of the year.
Yeah, I thought they were going in, it was evenly matched, and you know, Scotty and I were talking in the press box. I said, what are we going to see? And he's like, I got no idea. And I said, I got no idea either. I thought it was going to be good, though. I didn't think it would be, you know, one team running away from the other. You know, in the end, I guess, you know, the second half, you know, we had high scoring. But in the first half, it was penalties and defense. And so I guess it was a mixed bag. And the entertainment value, the only game I can remember is the – Auburn, Arkansas, was it 4 overtimes?
Yeah, that's right, in 2015.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I can remember that, yeah, maybe the Dak Prescott duel with Brandon Allen, that was pretty cool too. But, yeah, this would rank with those as far as suspense and lead changes. And, well, I mean, the Auburn game this year had some lead changes too, but it's – yeah, the one thing that I'll say that we know this is the constant now that you can count on is that Arkansas is going to play hard under Sam Pittman. And that's, you know, they're not always play well, but they're going to play hard.
Me and Clay went back and forth a lot before the game started trying to figure out what we thought we were going to see. And neither, like he said, neither one of us were real sure. But what I said was, I think something weird is going to happen. And there was plenty of weirdness that happened. You know, there was Will Rogers threw the pick, Grant Morgan grabbed it, and then Grant Morgan leaped over Will Rogers. There was the skirmish on the sideline where, you know, Mississippi State players kind of ran Treylon Burks in the sideline. He kind of threw a little bit of a punch, and then it just got weird. And then on one side, Arkansas's like great on special teams, and then Mississippi State's really struggling on special teams. And It was a really, really fun game. Like that one is right up there with the Brandon Allen, Dak Prescott quarterback duel to me. That game is going to be really hard to top, but the crowd the other night was what I thought was really, really fun. I didn't like, just like with the game, I wasn't sure what to expect with the crowd either, but they came, showed up, and they were really loud and made it a really fun night.
I didn't see anybody leave or very few people leave after Mississippi State scored with 2:22 left to go ahead in the fourth quarter. And I was talking to someone after the game. They said, I think that's the belief that the team has or that the fans have in the team now is that they're not just going to, you know, give it up. They're going to find a way to win that game. And Clay, you know what it reminded me of? It kind of reminded me of an NFL game. You know, in the NFL, if a team scores with 2.5 minutes left, you think, oh goodness gracious, you've left way too much time for the other offense. And with both of these teams, Arkansas and Mississippi State, it felt like their offenses were so efficient that it was NFL-esque that because you had given a couple of minutes now to the Razorbacks, there was a pretty good chance they were going to be able to march down the field.
Yeah, that's right. And you're also correct. There weren't a lot of people leaving. And I talked to a guy Sunday that said he and his wife, when the 4th-and-1 pass fell incomplete, that they're in the south end zone, and they got up and took about four steps down the aisle, and somebody said, "Hey, there's a penalty flag." And they said, "Whoop, right back in our seats." That was the closest they came to leaving. And it's like, this is going all the way to the end. And they said it was, made for a hectic exit afterwards when everybody left at the same time, which is, the congestion around the stadium apparently was really wild after the game. Took a while for it to clear out. And I guess that's what you want. You want to have suspense. You want to have excitement. You want to have people feel like they got their money's worth from their ticket. And then you want them to get a victory, which is happening more often now with Sam Pittman.
The celebration, with the players spilling onto the field after the last field goal missed, was pretty cool. It was just kind of like you're kind of letting off some steam. You're finally bowl eligible. A lot of those guys for the very first time. That good feeling really carried over into the post-game interview room. We walked in there and Jamie Pittman and Judy Henry, who's Sam Pittman's agent, were sitting toward the back of the room. And I think somebody started asking for a microphone check at the interview table. And they both walked up to the interview table, sat down, and were like playfully fielding questions and that kind of thing. Said that the crowd gave Arkansas 7 points. There was never a doubt, that kind of thing. It was just a really fun, positive atmosphere that Arkansas just hasn't had in so long. And then Sam came in and was, he was his usual fun self, after a game where, he knew what that game meant. And he said, it kind of felt like a Super Bowl to him, the way the guys celebrated in the locker room. It was just a pretty fun night.
I think there's something to be said for a comeback that ends with a touchdown like Arkansas had the other day. You can have these comebacks and game-winning scores on a field goal, and that's all well and good. But there's just something to be said about a touchdown drive that ends a game. And, we went back and looked this up after the game. There have only been four other Razorback games in the SEC that have ended with a game-winning touchdown PAT combination in the final 21 seconds like you had the other day. That was the fifth one. The others are all games that everybody remembers really well. You've got Lonnie Demeters at Alabama in 1995. There were 6 seconds on the clock when they scored that touchdown. Miracle on Markham in 2002, Matt Jones to Corey Birmingham. There were 9 seconds on the clock when that one ended. 2008, the second Miracle on Markham, Casey Dick to London Crawford, 21 seconds when that one ended. And then in 2010, the last time that this had happened was the Ryan Mallett to Greg Childs pass at Georgia. There were 15 seconds on the clock. Clay, I think we're going to remember this game pretty fondly, especially if Arkansas can do what Sam Pittman continues to say he thinks they can do, which is to go on a run at the end of November. If they win, say, 1-2 more games in the regular season, maybe they can win a bowl game. You're talking about an 8-9 type win season. And that's, this is certainly one of those games you're going to remember pretty well in a season that I think people are going to remember well, too.
I think you're right, Matt. And one thing to kind of add to this, everybody knows this. Maybe we don't talk about it enough, but it's so much easier to recruit when you win. And that every time they get one of these type games is just, kind of stamps this class as, in the fold. And, they, the week before they got the flip from Oregon of Isaiah Satenga and, There's players that they've got committed, and I'm sure there's other schools still chasing them. And then there's players that are still undecided that they're trying to, to jump in there at the end. And then there's the, 23 and the 24 classes that they're already working on. And these are important games. And it just tells you, that Sam's going to be here. And it's the crazy world of college football that we live in that they can't say that at Nebraska. Scott Frost is is on shaky ground. Dan Mullen, same thing at Florida. You've got the uncertainty at LSU, and it just makes it so much easier for these coaches every time they win a game to be able to make those phone calls and send those texts and get a response from players that, you know, maybe, you know, Arkansas always hasn't gotten it, you know, gotten their foot in. So it's, yeah, it's, we'll remember it. And so will the recruits.
Clay, you mentioned recruiting. 2024 running back Braylon Russell committed to Arkansas while he was visiting the game on Saturday. He's a 6'2", 225-pound running back from Hot Springs Lakeside. A couple of other notes to talk about from the weekend. Sam Pittman, with the victory on Saturday, he earned a $250,000 salary increase. That's written into his contract. If he wins six games or seven games or eight games for each the sixth, seventh, and eighth win, that's a $250,000 salary increase. And I think it was a clever way that they constructed his contract whenever he was hired in 2019, a first-time head coach. What they did was they gave him the ability to quickly get his salary in line with his other peers in the SEC if he won. But then if he doesn't win, then, you know, it minimizes the amount that Arkansas owes him. So, as we said, a $250,000 pay raise over the weekend. I think there's probably a couple of more of those that are in line. Arkansas is bowl eligible. I've seen a lot of places saying they're bowl eligible for the first time since 2016. That's not true. They were eligible for a bowl last year when the minimum win requirements were waived. They were going to play TCU in the Texas Bowl. I think a lot of people forget that, and that game was canceled due to COVID issues at TCU. Now they're eligible the traditional way for a bowl for the first time since 2016. One more note, Arkansas linebacker Grant Morgan is a semifinalist for the Burlsworth Trophy. We mentioned that all the nominees were announced last week. Morgan is one of 10 semifinalists for the award. Some of the other notable semifinalists, Clay, you mentioned last week, you think Stetson Bennett is one of the ones to beat for the award this year. He's one of the semifinalists, the Georgia quarterback, a couple of other notables. Oregon's got a junior offensive lineman named Ryan Walk, who's pretty good. He's on the list. You've got other semifinalists from Charlotte, Iowa State, Liberty, Memphis, Northwestern, Troy, and Wisconsin. I think that Grant Morgan's going to be probably one of the final three in the Burlsworth Trophy conversation again this year. I just think so many people were so surprised that he didn't win it a year ago. And given the Arkansas tie with the Burlsworth Trophy, I think there's probably going to be a strong lean for him to, you know, get consideration up until the last vote.
Well, what you have to really focus on is who are the voters, who's that selection committee. And, you know, think, oh, it's a award given in Arkansas, and it's probably got a heavy Arkansas flavor. Well, there's some Arkansas people on that committee, mm-hmm. but it also is folks scattered all across the country, and they're all guys that really know the landscape and understand you know, what's out there, and it will not be a foregone conclusion again that Grant's the guy. And I, you know, if you sit there and you analyze what Stetson Bennett's done and some of these other guys and compare it to Grant's numbers and what he's done, and you know, it's like, you know, he's not a runaway winner. He's I think he's got a strong case, but you know, it's going to be tough for Arkansas fans to understand if he doesn't win it. But I think I see a clear path to Stetson Bennett. If he's the quarterback of the number one team in the country when this decision is made, you know, in December, wow. I mean, how can you not? I mean, if you want to pull for somebody, pull for JT Daniels to take over a quarterback. and I don't really wish that, but you know, that might be the way to derail Stetson Bennett, because he's had a heck of a season for a good team.
Yeah, Daniels got into the game the other day against Missouri, but I think Bennett, that's still his offense. That selection committee, by the way, for the Burlsworth Trophy, I think it's more pro football heavyweights. You've got David Baker on it. He's the CEO and president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dan Reeves is on the selection committee. Kurt Warner is on the selection committee. Bobby Bell, the great Kansas City Chiefs defensive player. He's on there. There is some Arkansas flavor, as you mentioned, Danny Ford, who I don't know really has a lot of Arkansas connection at this point, but of course he was the coach. Ken Hatfield, Jim Lindsay, Tommy Tice, also the former Harrison high school football coach. He's on there. And Sean Bedford was the first winner of the Burlesworth Trophy. It's a 9-man selection committee. And those are the ones who are responsible for telling us who's going to be invited to Springdale for that ceremony at the end of the year. I think they're going to have it in Springdale this year. I haven't really checked into that, if they're going to have it in person. Last year, it was a digital presentation. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Whoopee!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Up next for Arkansas is LSU this weekend, 6:30 kickoff at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. LSU, of course, coming off that game against Alabama over the weekend where they had plenty of chances to take the lead against the Crimson Tide in the fourth quarter. I think I counted three times that LSU had the ball inside Alabama territory in the final 10 minutes of that game, and they couldn't score a touchdown in any of those three possessions. I don't know what to expect from this game this weekend, Clay. It's you almost get the feeling that there might be a hangover at LSU. Like, they had 2 weeks to get ready for Alabama, and then they, you know, they lose, and now what's left for LSU? They're in a situation with a lame duck head coach at Ogeron. The whole coaching staff is probably going to be gone at the end of the season whenever there's a new head coach comes in. And then, you know, you start to think about LSU. They expect to be in the conversation for the Peach Bowl and the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl and those types at the end of the season, and they're not bowl eligible yet. They've got to win two more games in order to get there. They play ULM, which means that, you know, they'll probably win that game. They've got to beat either Arkansas or Texas A&M at the end of the season to get bowl eligible. And then even if they do, you're probably talking about Liberty Bowl, not Sugar Bowl. And you wonder what the motivation's like for LSU.
Yeah, that's correct. I think this is, if there's ever been a time when when getting off to a fast start could really weigh heavily in how the game is contested, this would be it. I mean, for both teams. I mean, I think if Arkansas has the kind of start that they had against Mississippi State, where for a quarter and a half they dominate, you could see, you know, LSU fold the tent. I mean, it's happened so often. And I mean, there are so many times that I've seen what I thought was a superior, talented LSU team just go through the motions like they weren't, you know, I mean, they'd been to all the parties over at Southern University during the week. And I don't think that's making stuff up. I think that happens. And, you know, it's like, do you have control of the team? You know, what about this? These coaches, so it's like, what kind of leadership do you have on this LSU team? They wanted to beat Alabama, and they put a lot into that game. And do you have anything left in the tank? And I think those are mysteries that we won't know until halftime. And they still got players. They still got talent. And, you know, if you sit and have a draft and say, I want this guy for this team, for this position, this guy, I mean, LSU would have a lot of guys winning the draft, you know, from the head coaches. But are they the best team right now? I don't think so. I think Arkansas is. And you got more balanced quarterback play. There's one of the factors that's just kind of really crazy to me is they're the least penalized team in the country. And I would have never guessed that. And they're, you know, number one in the SEC, number one in the country, least penalized yards, least number of penalties, four penalties a game. And we know that that's been a problem for Arkansas. So we see how that plays out. And, but yeah, it's, you go into that stadium at night and it is incredible. There's not any place really like it. And, you know, you talk about being lathered up or whatever, but I can't tell you whether they're going to, you know, fans are going to come for this game. I mean, it's going to be a great weather day, 60 degrees. There's no reason not to, but we saw that, you know, is thought that you'd, you know, have packed stadiums at LSU baseball and, you know, attendance fell off last year, you know, as they, you know, didn't win and had a lame duck coach eventually. Is that going to happen for this game? I don't think there's anything about Arkansas that excites the LSU fan base. So that's another part of the dynamics that we just don't know.
Yeah. It's overall, I just don't really know what to expect from LSU. You know, it seems like they've been up and down since, you know, it was announced that Ed Orgeron was going to be out at the end of the year. You know, they beat Florida. That was a game I didn't expect them to win whatsoever. And I didn't expect them to compete with Alabama. Like on the predictions part of the podcast last week, I said that it seemed like one of those days where Bryce Young would have a pretty light day and they just turn around and hand the ball off. That wasn't it. Like Alabama really struggled to run or gain any traction in the run game. And it seems like with that extra week that they had off, you know, Sam Pittman was talking about how LSU basically threw the kitchen sink at Alabama and put in a bunch of new blitzes that really threw Bryce Young off and put him in some hot situations. And I don't know that, you know, you don't come out with a win in a game like that where you play well enough to win on defense and you don't win. I mean, I just don't know what they've got left. In terms of like the spirit of some of those guys, plenty of talent over there. I think it's going to be another really good game. And it's pretty intriguing to see, you know, Arkansas favored on the road at night at LSU, just Sam Pittman's second year. That's pretty neat.
One of the things to focus on, and I think that, you know, if you go and you watch, which I did Sunday, the Alabama LSU game, Alabama, you know, which lost their top two centers from last year, they had an injury in the first quarter. Their starting center is a pretty good player again. And usually that's where one of your best offensive linemen is on most teams in the SEC. If you don't have a good center, you're in trouble in the SEC. And they lost their center, Alabama did, to ankle injury, moved their best guard over, and that effectively ruined two positions. Center wasn't nearly as good. The guy was having trouble with the snap. Wasn't able to block effectively while making the snap. Bryce Young was in trouble early. They were running guys through the A-gap. The guy that played the guard position wasn't effective. And I think that conversely, you look at Arkansas, and they seem to be the healthiest they've been in the offensive line in a while, especially with Ricky Stromberg. I think that's a matchup that looks better for Arkansas than it did for Alabama. And you would have never guessed that Alabama would come out of that game with 6 yards rushing. And if Arkansas is in a similar position, they're going to lose the game. They can't survive rushing for 6 yards. And I mean, Alabama did because of the strength of their defense and Will Anderson, but Arkansas does not have that luxury. But that will be something to watch real early, is how Arkansas handles those two inside tackles, Logan and Farrell. And, you know, I think they'll do all right. They've played similar groups in except Georgia and Stromberg, and those two guards held up. That'll be something to watch early. And if they can do better than Alabama, I think that this is a game that maybe they can run the ball a little bit.
It's interesting to me. I was thinking about this weekend. how much our perception of coaches can change in 2 years. I mean, you remember when Sam Pittman was hired in 2019, there were a lot of people who were very skeptical of that. And I think most people now would say that might've been the best hire of that class in the SEC. Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach were part of that too. I think, you know, Kiffin has done a good job at Ole Miss. A lot of people wanted Mike Leach whenever Pittman was hired, you know, within the Arkansas fan base. Clay, I sure thought he showed his true colors after the game the other day, though, throwing his kickers under the bus the way he did and announcing that they would have open tryouts for kickers on campus for anyone who wanted to come. I just didn't think that was a very good look.
Yeah, the old pirate, I guess he could have done worse. He could have opened up one of the doors of the airplane at 34,000 feet and said, walk the plank, but he did everything but that. I think that's, but it's what you get with Mike Leach. And if you'll go back and, you know, comments about girlfriends and, you know, and every, just go through the years, both at, Lubbock and Pullman. And, he's lucky he's at an outpost again, Starkville. I mean, you can kind of toil in obscurity, but yeah, I think that, with Dan Mullen, you know, it looks like he's, you know, having trouble, but I think it comes down, everybody talks about the ability to coach. Well, it's sustainability. Can you recruit? You can coach. You know, I think we go back to Arkansas days and you saw Lou Holtz. Yeah, he can really coach, but he stopped recruiting for a while. And then you kind of saw, you know, things start to fall off. I mean, you've got to, it is a fine balancing act between how you spend your time and how you motivate your coaching staff. Do you recruit or do you coach, or do you do both, or do you do one better than the other? And I think that what you've seen with Sam Pittman, and I, you know, listen to Treylon Burks after the game, we play for our coaches. Well, I think that's a telling comment. And I think that when you say things like Mike Leach did, and players see that you threw a guy under the bus, you know, I mean, maybe that's what the players were thinking. I don't know. But I don't think it's the right way to approach things. And I think probably most people, even the Mississippi State fans, they may have thought that, but they also realize that you can't do that to the kids.
I really think that you saw the difference in, you know, coaching styles and Sam Pittman and Mike Leach, just in that situation with Mississippi State's kicker. You know, their number one kicker had missed two field goals earlier in the game. And I legitimately think that if Sam Pittman is in that situation, that he runs the kid out there again, because now I think your number one kicker's confidence is a little bit broken. And now your number two kicker's confidence is broken, because that kick that he had to potentially send the game to overtime never had a chance. And now I don't know that Mississippi State feels good about either one of its kickers. If you've got two kickers, you don't really have one. I think we saw last season in Sam Pittman's first year, I think he ran out a kicker after he missed like maybe one kick or two kicks in a row. And then he, like, I think he nailed a pretty long, important field goal. And I think that's just the difference in those two coaches. And I think, I don't want to say Arkansas dodged a bullet by not hiring Mike Leach, but I think they definitely got their guy in Sam Pittman. I think he knows how to best handle different situations. And what Mike Leach did the other night with his the whole kicker deal, that wasn't a great look, like Matt said.
Yeah, Sam's 2-0 over Leach right now. That's the bottom line.
And he's 3-1 against Leach and Kiffin. Of course, he's got a chance to beat Eli Drinkwitz for the first time in a couple of weeks. Should be noted on Mississippi State that those two kickers, they've kind of rotated them throughout the year. I think one has tried 9 kicks, the other's tried 8. So I don't think they've had inconsistency in their field goal kickers at all this year. We mentioned coaches who our impressions of them have changed in 2 years. I don't know that that's any more true than for Ed Orgeron, who was just the toast of college football 2 years ago. And it's interesting to me, Clay, that whenever Pittman was hired, it was in the middle of that great LSU 15-0 run. And what was the thing you heard from everybody? Well, this could be Arkansas's Ed Orgeron. This could be the one who kind of gets out of the way, lets his coordinators do the coaching. He kind of, you know, oversees the program. And I think for Arkansas, that's really kind of been the case, and it's worked.
Sam's always the same. He's going to say exactly what he thinks. He's going to, you know, he's not going to sugarcoat it. He said that they've been bad when they were bad. He said that, you know, he's made mistakes. Ed seems to say whatever the fans are thinking, like, well, that, you know, like he got on to his coaches a few weeks ago because they were being way too predictable, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's the one that decides, you know, what kind of predictability they're going to be. You know, it's like he knows the scouting report. They, you know, all these teams, you know, self scout. So I think, you know, he threw his coaches under the bus. And I think Ed is what we thought he was when they hired him. You know, when he went from interim head coach to head coach, that they won because of the ultimate talent that they had at wide receiver, running back, and quarterback for 1 year, and caught lightning in a bottle. And I mean, defense, the same thing. I mean, they had basically 20 NFL players, starting at 22 positions, and you know, you're going to be hard pressed not to win. But he is what we thought he was. You know, was that an old
Dennis Green?
Dennis Green, yeah. We are what we thought we were, and it's like Ed is. You know, the Ole Miss fans could have told them this is what's going to happen, and they won in spite of Ed.
Real quick before we get out of here, the college football playoff ranking comes out tonight, Tuesday night. Arkansas was not in the AP poll. They were not in the coaches poll over the weekend. They were receiving votes. I think they were the first team out in the coaches poll. They were the second team out in the AP poll. They've been ranked one time in the college football poll. And I think there's probably a pretty good chance that they're going to get ranked tonight, given their record. They're 6-3. They played a pretty good schedule. And they just beat Mississippi State, who I think the playoff committee really liked going into last week. Mississippi State wasn't ranked in either of the other two polls, but they were number 17 in the college football playoff poll. Just real quick, Clay, do you think they get into this one?
It would sure seem like they would, based on how this selection committee has favored Power Five teams over Group of Five teams. And you think that, you know, all they have to do is like Arkansas better than one of those Group of Five teams, and they're in there. You know, there's a couple of Big Ten teams that I don't think can play with Arkansas. I tell you something that was interesting to me in talking before the game to a couple of Mississippi State insiders that have been around these Mississippi State coaches, who almost all of them came with Leach from Washington State, at least several did. And they say that either Arkansas or Mississippi State would have been the second best team last couple of years in the Pac-12 when they were there. Maybe Oregon would be the exception, but that these are two really good teams. And I think, you know, that was the reaction that Sam had after the game, that they beat a really good team. And I think that was reflected in the college football playoff. And you'd think, based on all of that, you know, the Arkansas jumps in there somewhere.
Yeah, I definitely could see them ranked anywhere in that 23 to 25 range. I think last week what the committee showed is that they're not going to, or basically, I guess they're going into this with a blank slate, and they're not using, you know, keys from like the AP poll or any other polls. I mean, that's why you saw Mississippi State at 17 when they weren't, I don't believe, in the coaches poll or the AP poll. Yeah, I think Arkansas could slide in toward the back end.
Again, the new playoff ranking comes out Tuesday night. It'll probably be in the middle of the Razorback basketball game when we find out if Arkansas has made the top 25 in the playoff poll. The Razorback basketball team opens the 2021-22 season Tuesday night with a game against Mercer at Bud Walton Arena. Go to wholehogsports.com. You can check out all of our latest football and basketball coverage. We'll be back with another Football Cat podcast later this week. Before then, we'll have a basketball podcast of Mid-America that will recap the Mercer game. For Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon and Matt Jones, we thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store.
And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.